But today we feel led to go to the New Testament, to one of the letters of the Apostle Paul. Amen? And Book of Philippians, chapter 4. All right? I trust that you will pray for me and with me as we follow the unction of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's just good to be saved. You know, as you turn there, it's just good to be saved. I could just shout, you know? Amen. And I'm going to try to contain my energy and my joy this morning. And for the sake of my children, I'm going to try to contain my goofiness. Amen. Because, you know, I have to deal with them later on. Yeah. Daddy, you're so goofy. Yeah, well, Daddy's goofy. That's right. And it's just interesting how when you're a child, you think your parents are the biggest nerds this side of the Jordan River. And you just assume that you're going to be cool forever. Amen? And then when the Lord blesses you with children, you find out what a goofball you are. That's right. That's right. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. All right. And I've got the New International Version. Amen. But I don't want y'all to get confused. I'm not getting converted over. I'm still a King James man. Praise the Lord. I know what you're thinking. Al, that's not the Bible, Paul or Jesus. Yeah, I know that. Yes. That's just the one I like. Okay. Don't hurt me. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. I want to start in verse 2. Amen. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. Verse 2 says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by giving, present your requests to God, and the God of peace, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word for the edification of our souls. This morning we want to speak from the subject, encouragement for our souls. You know, there's a certain temptation when you get in the pulpit to try to say something profound and something really theologically or philosophically astute. Amen? But as I was praying over this morning's message, the Lord put it in my heart to just try to encourage you people, to encourage each other, to continue to do right in God's sight. We live in some difficult, difficult times. And I don't know about you, but I'm a news junkie. I'm a political junkie. I always want to know what's going on. Look at the world that we live in. It's just amazing how we've gotten so far away from the founding fathers and the principles that this country was built upon. It just fascinates me, you know. And you know, have you ever noticed that you can go anywhere and people can, we were at the gas station this morning and the guy is just blasting this music and he had every cuss word on that CD or whatever it was he was playing in his car that you can possibly think of. And I'm here with my wife and my three girls, you know, and I had to resist the temptation and go over and talk to him because I'm on my way over here to Mesquite to go to church. But you know, I just wanted to ask the guy, man, just think about your soul. Is it good for you to be putting that stuff in your mind? But as if that weren't enough, we have everything in the world working against us. Whenever you try to do right, the devil always has somebody somewhere who wants to encourage you to do wrong. You look at our TV shows, our soap operas, everything. It's all geared towards doing things that are contrary to the Christian faith. Even the commercials are geared toward the carnal mind, fleshly living, fleshly thinking. Everything in this culture works against the Christian faith. Yet God has commanded us to remain pure and to do His will in spite of that. And in the process, you know what He also commands us to do? He also commands us to love those who are against the gospel of Jesus Christ. They spew hatred and lies and every ungodly thing under the sun. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not ranting. I'm just calling a spade a spade. And my brothers and my sisters, God expects us to live a life of purity, a life of honor, a life of dignity. We had a situation last week in my neighborhood where these guys had broken into somebody's house, you know, and they sent notices out to everybody. And there were like three guys, and the story was that they were actually armed. They had broken into this person's house. And I didn't get all the details other than what I got in the little letter that they sent around. And they were saying that it was new to that particular neighborhood. It had, that kind of activity was not common in where we live, you know. And, you know, I'm the stereotypical American male. Praise the Lord. And my thoughts were not holy, I can assure you. I got a wife and three girls, and God has called me to be a protector of my home. Can I get a witness? Young ladies, if a man does not want to be your protector, you don't need him. I know it's fashionable and it's cool to watch these TV shows and these movies. You know, I think Angelina Jolie's got a new movie out where she's out beating up 200-pound men. That may be fashionable, but that's not reality. It's God's will for a man to protect his wife and for a man to be a man and protect his children. No, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to be weak and stand idly by and watch things happen. No, that's not what we're saying. But we are trying to make the point that that stuff that they put on TV is not reality. But even as I thought about the fact that these three young men are running around breaking into people's houses, God has called me to witness to them. Amen? After I wrestle them to the ground and punch them in the face a few times, then I'm supposed to tell them about the love of Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's how the chronology works in my mind. You know what I'm talking about. That's right. And here I am, 41 years old. And sometimes I just feel like I have not grown that much since I was 17 or 18 years old. You men know what I'm talking about. Because I still have the same desire to smite people with my swords. Amen? But you know, it's just like jiu-jitsu. That's what the Christian life is really like. Amen. See, in jiu-jitsu, a takedown is a takedown. An armbar is an armbar. The difference between a purple belt and a black belt is that the black belt is not going to do an armbar that's a variation from the purple belt's armbar. No, that's not the point. The point is the black belt is much more skilled and much more prepared to put that armbar on his opponent than the purple belt is. There's nothing new. There's no more new revelation in terms of the Word of God. As you get older, you're not going to learn any quote-unquote new principles. As you mature in the Christian faith, the only thing you and I are going to learn is how to properly and better apply those principles that we've learned. And when I look at Philippians, especially chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is the older preacher, he's the wise preacher, he's been walking with the Lord for a number of years now, And he feels led to write the believers in a town known as Philippi. Now, what makes this letter so unique is not that he writes them to encourage them, but he writes them from an awful situation. It's one of what we call the prison epistles. Now, when we say prison, scholars are at odds with each other about what kind of incarceration the Apostle Paul experienced. And to save you all that information, and rather than bore you to tears, my personal conviction is that the Apostle Paul was writing this letter while he was under house arrest. You know, he had a little ankle bracelet on his, tied around his leg there, so that if he went too far, they would know where he was, and they would come back and arrest him and put him in the real jail. He was under house arrest. He was not in the best of situations. And yet, although he was in a bad situation, he writes the believers in Philippi to encourage them to be consistent in living the Christian life. And in chapter 4, there are four principles that I just feel led to highlight and share with you this morning. Although we live in an anti-Christian culture, you and I can still be faithful to Almighty God through Christ Jesus if we follow these principles that are in His Word. The first one is right here in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Here we go. My brothers and sisters, if you and I are going to make it in an openly hostile Christian environment, we need to make sure we walk in the presence of Almighty God. Paul told the church in Philippi, the Lord is near. Now, my children and I, we like to sit around and we like to watch the cartoons. And I must confess to you, I do not like the cartoons that they have on today. When I was coming up, we had the good cartoons. Thank you very much. See, now they have the cat dog and the SpongeBob, and none of this makes any sense to me. SpongeBob SquarePants. Why are his pants square? Why is that such a big deal? I don't understand. Cat dog makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. When I was coming up, we used to read comic books. One of my favorite comic books was a character called Superman. Love Superman. Superman was just awesome. I remember a few years ago, back in the 80s, they made a movie, Superman the Movie. And there was this one situation where Superman, he went to save Lois Lane and rescue Lois Lane. But he couldn't do it. He got there too late. So you know what Superman does? He flies around the world backwards, real, real fast. And goes back in time to the place where Lois Lane had first got in trouble. Only this time he gets there in time enough to save her from the calamity that she found herself in. Got good news for you. The God we serve is the kind of God who stands outside of time. So that if and when we do get in trouble, he doesn't have to fly around the world a million times backwards to go back to the point where we got in trouble and save us. Oh no. In fact, he stands so far out of time that he's already in the trouble before we get in the trouble. My brothers and sisters, although we live in an openly hostile Christian context, we can still be faithful to Almighty God. Why? Because we have His presence. Oh no. You may not be Superwoman, and I may not be Superman, but we serve an awesome God who's with us wherever we may go. David put it in different terms. You know what David said? He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And at the end of that psalm, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Think about it. Wherever you go, goodness and mercy, they follow you of your life. There's a second principle. Notice down here in verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here we go. Not only do you and I have the presence of Almighty God, not only is He with us, not only is Jesus with us wherever we go, but guess what? Because you and I are born again believers in Christ Jesus, we've got the peace of Almighty God. And you know what the Bible says about the peace of God? This peace goes beyond your intellectual capacity to comprehend. It literally passes all understanding. When you put your trust in the Lord and you find yourself in a situation you can't get out of or you don't know how you're going to deal with it, and you just say, Lord, it's in your hands, there's a certain peace that comes over your soul that you cannot explain. That's why the songwriter wrote somewhere, I've got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. You can't analyze it. You cannot articulate it. You cannot describe it. But it's a peace down in your soul that only the Spirit can give. My brothers and sisters, you and I can make it in this hostile Christian environment because we have the peace of God through Christ Jesus. Young people, let me tell you about one of my other favorite comic book characters, the X-Men. The paradox of the X-Men is that the strongest person on the team of the X-Men was not a man. She was a woman. Her name was Storm. See, Storm was a comic book character. She had this ability to fly up in the air and clash her hands and to control the weather. She would make it start she would make the lightning flash and the thunder roar against her enemies, against the villains. If she were out on the water, she would create hurricanes. And if she were out in the desert, she would use her powers to create horrible catastrophes with the wind. And then, after she got her enemies in the position where she wanted them to be, she would clap her hands again, and the weather would go back to being normal. One day, the disciples were out on a ship, and the Bible says a storm came on the sea, and Jesus was on the ship sleeping. And they went into a panic, and they went and woke up Jesus and said, Master, do you even care if we die? If I can use my sanctified imagination. Jesus woke up and stretched real good. Wiped the sleep out of his eyes. And said, oh ye of little faith. And he commanded the winds and the waves. And all he said was, peace. Be still. My brothers and my sisters, we don't worship a comic book character. We worship the real deal. The reason why he can control the winds and the waves and the storms and the hurricanes is because he created the wind. He created the rain. He created everything in this world. You and I can make it because you and I have the peace of God through Christ Jesus. Let's read further. Look at verse 13. You know this verse. It says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Let's review here. You got the presence of God. You got the peace of God. And you guessed it. Now we want to talk about the power of God. Do you realize whatever the Lord Jesus brings you into, he can get you out of. Why? Because he has the power. There's an expression I learned somewhere some time ago, and I'm sure you've heard it. If he brought you to that situation, he can get you through that situation. You don't have to throw up your hands and just give up and walk away. No. God has given you the power to sustain yourself in that situation. Perhaps there are some of us who are here today who are contemplating divorce, who are contemplating separation. Yes, my wife will tell you, sometimes my spouse gets on my last nerves. But God has given us everything we need to be married to that person. Another comic book character that I like is a guy by the name of the Incredible Hulk. David Banner. He's just this wimpy intellectual. But you don't want to make him angry. I guarantee you won't like him when he's angry. He turns into this big, green, hulking monster with muscles much like myself. Thank you very much. Now, you knew I was going to throw that in there. That's right. No, I'm not saying that when we get in a situation that we can't handle, we're supposed to turn into green men with muscles. No, 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 no. But the point is that God has given us the power through Christ Jesus to endure any and every situation. He's given us the power to be faithful to Him. You want to see power? I tell you, think about Jesus on the cross. That's what I call power. You're going to spit on me. You're going to mock me. Then you're going to nail my hands and nail my feet to a cross. See, the Lord knew not to put me on that cross. Because trust me, I'd have handled them Roman soldiers. That's right. What? Mess around and break all your bones. Like you talking to. That's power right there. He had enough power to restrain himself and discipline himself not to lash out. Why? For the sake of love. He knew that was the only way that he could satisfy the wrath of a holy God. He did it for you and I. And you know what's awesome? The same power that kept Jesus on that cross is the same power that's available to believers today to do God's will. I know the TV preachers are on TV telling you can go out and split the Red Sea and all that kind of stuff. No. He gave you that power so that you could love. He gave you that power so that you and I could live lives of integrity and purity and honor and dignity in an openly hostile Christian environment. Let's review here. You and I can make it because we got the presence of God. You and I can make it because we've got the power of God. You and I can make it, because we got the peace of God. Look at verse 19 and I'm going to sit down. The Bible says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." God is the kind of God who gives us everything we need to do his will. And if you come to a place in your life and you're trying to do something and you don't have what you need to do it, then you need to stop and ask yourself, well, if I don't have it and God has not provided it, is it in his will for me to do it? See, we put stuff on ourselves that God has not put on us. No, no, no. Earlier when we talked about the presence of God, we talked about Superman. How he has the ability to fly around the world. And then we talked about the peace of God, and we talked about Storm. And her ability to control the weather. And then thirdly, we talked about the power of God, and we talked about the Incredible Hulk and the strength that he has. But the last comic book character that I want to leave you with is my favorite. This guy is my favorite comic book character because he has no superpowers. He can't fly around the world. He doesn't have the power to control the weather, right? And he doesn't turn into a green monster. He's just a regular human being. But he's very, very resourceful. His name is Batman. That is my favorite comic book character of all time. You guessed it. Batman is my man. I know what you're thinking, Al, why is that? But let me just break it down for you. See, Batman is the kind of character, when he gets in a situation, he's got everything he needs. Phil, check this out. Batman is chasing the Joker, right? And his Batmobile. Then the Joker jumps out the car and jumps on a motorcycle. Batman, who's in the Batmobile, pushes a button and the Batmobile turns into a Bat motorcycle. Then the Joker looks behind him and sees the Batman chasing him still. And so the Joker jumps off the motorcycle at the pier and he jumps in a boat. He's getting away. He thinks he's got Batman fooled. But the Joker doesn't realize he's dealing with one of the most resourceful detectives there ever was. So Batman, who was in the Batmobile that turned into the Bat motorcycle, now turns into the Bat boat. The Joker is running across the water in his super boat. He turns around, he sees Batman trailing him. He says, "Oh no." So he gets to his secret island hideout, gets off the boat, and he jumps on his helicopter. And he's getting away. Now I got him lit. Oh, no, not hardly. Batman, who was in the Batmobile, that turned into the Bat motorcycle, that then turned into the Bat boat, all of a sudden turns into the Bat helicopter, or the Bat jet. That's what it is. Batman is the most resourceful superhero on the planet. SpongeBob, how do you like me now? That's right. He's got everything he needs. And may I suggest to you that the God that we serve is the kind of God who's going to give us everything we need to get the job done. If you're feeling weak, guess what? He'll give you strength in your weakness. If you're feeling depressed, guess what? He'll give you joy in your sorrow. If you're feeling inept, he'll turn around and say, guess what? My grace is sufficient for thee. We serve a God who's given us everything we need to do his will. Oh yeah, we live in an openly hostile culture. This culture has villainized those of us who believe in the institution of marriage. That is, marriage ought to be between one man and one woman. Not one man and one man. Another man, excuse me. Not one woman and another woman. No, no. Man and woman. All you have to do is stand up and tell the truth, and all of a sudden, you become the bad guy. You become the villain. But that's okay. Because God has given us all everything we need to do His will in an openly hostile culture. I do appreciate your time. Didn't mean to preach for so long. If y'all want to get together and talk about Batman later on, we can debate who, you know. Because I know some of you young people are challenging me, you know. I do like Ben 10, though. I must admit that. Yeah, I do like that. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the witness of the Apostle Paul and how you used him to encourage the believers in Philippi. Father, we just ask, oh God, that you would encourage us who are here today in Mesquite. Father, there are so many challenges that we face today. So numerous we cannot even name, oh God. Father, we just pray that you would just have your will in our lives and give us the courage to face those challenges in spite of ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.